folks. Welcome back to Stories from Bittersweet Farm. I'm Ken Pierpont, and today's story is Chapter 10 in my book, For a Few Days, Stories from a Season of Life on a Family Farm. And it's entitled Building Material. Grandpa and Grandma lived through the Great Depression. Like everyone else who endured the great American hardship, it marked them for life. They were careful and frugal and enterprising. Grandpa loved to show us how to make homemade toys and improvise to save money. He loved to fabricate things. It was a long way to town, so he and Grandma weren't in the habit of running to town for everything. When they bought gifts, they were always practical. Mittens, hats, underwear were common. Their food and their clothing were modest. They lived in a kind of simple luxury. They liked to spend their time and energy doing things that help provide for the necessities of life, like gardening and fishing and hunting and farming. We fished the pond and we ate the fish, bass, crappie, catfish, bluegills. We even caught and cleaned and ate a turtle one summer. Once I caught an 11-inch crappie. Grandpa said it was a record catch and he nailed the head over the corn crib door. I guess that's just what you do. The fishing was fun, but the fishing was also food. They never owned two cars, but they shared one modest standard-issue blue-collar Chevrolet with crank windows, an AM radio, and a minimum of chrome. It was only in the last decade of their lives they allowed themselves the option of air conditioning. There were three huge trees that stood as sentinels on the hillside north of the pond. They were hickories. I knew this for two reasons. First, because the nuts that littered the ground around the base of the trees. And second, because my grandfather told me so, and he always taught me how to identify the trees and plants that grew around the farm. One day, my grandfather said, "You should gather the nuts up and put them in bags and sell them for Christmas." I took a box, gathered up all the nuts I could find, and when I got home, I put them in bags, and I peddled them door to door to raise money for Christmas presents. Sold them all. Grandpa was proud of me and glad that the hickory nuts went to good use. Just a few weeks of my life were spent with my grandfather on the farm. Though we visited as often as we could, Grandpa Pierpont took it upon himself to teach me things almost continuously while I was there. He taught me to catch catfish, bluegill, crappie, bass. He taught me to catch and clean a turtle. Did you know there are 14 kinds of meat in a turtle? He showed me how to find edible puffballs and mushrooms and fry them in batter with the fish. He tried valiantly to teach me to weed the garden and pick green beans without missing a single one, and this without any real success. He showed me how to plant trees. He inspired me to start a business selling hickory nuts. He patiently taught me, at great peril to myself, how to drive the Massey Ferguson, even though I was the slowest of learners. Two or three times I narrowly escaped serious disaster. He taught me to ride a pony and get back on after I was thrown to the ground. He gave me detailed lessons in meteorology, most of which was over my head. I watched in wide-eyed, wordless wonder at the beginning of the calf-producing process, and then in wide-eyed, I watched again as my grandfather demonstrated a very graphic birthing technique in the middle of one cold spring night. On the way back to my warm bed, he launched into an impromptu lecture on the whole process of cattle reproduction. Well, it was memorable, to say the least. He sang old folk songs and told funny stories that it would be impossible for me to forget simply because he repeated them so often. I learned how to get a bale of hay on the wagon, even if it weighed almost as much as I did. I learned the names of birds, plants, and trees. I'm sure I'm the only one of my peers who knew the details of the blight that swept through the Midwest shortly after the turn of the century and in 35 to 40 years made the American chestnut almost extinct. Grandpa told me stories of natural history, tales of World War II and the South Pacific in riveting first-person narrative. He told me stories of the antics of his youth that he would have thrashed me for trying myself. He threatened me frequently with beatings and whippings, but I could not have imagined disobeying him or challenging his authority for a minute and he never laid a hand on me. In all my life, he never laid a disciplinary hand on me. My admiration for him was boundless. The influence of those weeks on the farm was all out of proportion to the amount of time I spent there. When Grandpa needed to repair something, he rarely went to the hardware or farm supply. He salvaged and improvised and fabricated with materials that he already owned. His workshop was piled with things that he had rescued from old buildings and implements over the years. The floor of the garage was jammed with 5-gallon buckets filled with parts and hardware and fasteners and inexplicable paraphernalia that made sense only to him. I'm sure he had a good idea just where everything was. I'm sure no one else did. He pulled boards and nails from a dilapidated shed to repair the working barn one afternoon. He taught me how to straighten nails, showed me how to use a block to get better leverage to pull a nail from a long-seasoned bit of hardwood. He taught me a technique to keep from hammering my thumb when driving a nail or breaking my arm when driving a stake. And now I never drive a nail without thinking of him. Grandpa started his family at the very beginning of the Great Depression. Because of that, he and Grandma celebrated the day of his hiring at Owens Corning Fiberglass until the day he died. Grandma sent him off to work there with a full lunch pail every day for 35 years and considered it a provision from God. They didn't buy what they could grow. They proudly grew tomatoes, peppers, Grandpa called them mangoes, green beans, limas, corn, cucumbers, they always called those pickles. They raised their own beef and sometimes milked their own cow. They majored in home economics long before there were any formal courses on it. They shared one car, and it was Spartan, the simplest Chevy available, few adornments, and they didn't waste or squander. But here's the heart of my long reverie. Grandpa built from material gathered here and there because of economic necessity. God knows nothing of economic necessity. His resources are unlimited. He never lacks. He never sleeps. He's never confused or perplexed. He's never in need. He's never worried, but he's a builder, and he created the world out of nothing. Shortly thereafter, sin fouled this beautiful creation, tarnished the reflection of his image in mankind and throughout his creation. But before the foundation of the world, he had in his heart a blueprint of redemption, a rebuilding strategy. He who created the worlds with his words gathers the scraps of fallen humanity and he rebuilds. Don't miss this and don't ever doubt it. God builds beautiful things with material that he gathers from the ruins of our lives. This is good news, the best of news for us who are capable of devastating ruin. So here is an encouraging word if you ever find yourself sitting among the ruins of your life. From Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. His ability to redeem and rebuild is infinite. He is not limited by time. His intent to restore and rebuild can leap across generations of brokenness, captivity, bondage, and mourning. That's just the way he is. You have his word on that, and that's the story. From out on Bittersweet Farm today, where every day is a beautiful day, and the little light in the kitchen is always on.